hunger, rich in blessing, and with love to us inclined. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can one be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Did any of you ask to be born? Did you assent to that process? Now, we kid about a child being impatient to come into the world. My own mother was told that if she had gone into labor with me at the local mall, I would have been born by the fountain. But the reality is, our birth is something that happened to us. We controlled nothing about it. Jesus is saying much the same thing in his conversation with Nicodemus. Now, Nick's trying his hardest to show that he has a handle on things. It kind of reminds me of Peter back up on the mountain a few weeks ago when Jesus was transfigured. He thinks that he has Jesus all figured out. In the same way, so does Nick. Right? "I know you are a teacher who comes from God, because that's the only way that you can be doing these things." And Jesus' response is to say, "No, you really can't see the reign of God and who I am without being born anew," or born from above. The language could be used either way. And Nick doesn't get it. He tries going, he thinks about that in very practical terms. I don't understand. This is how birth happens. And so Jesus explains some more. You don't have the power to enter the reign of God without being born of water and spirit. Now, Nick is still kind of clueless. He doesn't grok this. But note, he will keep coming back to Jesus. He appears at least two more times in the Gospel of John. So there's obviously something at work in him, but he still doesn't see, not fully, who Jesus is. And according to Jesus, he can't do this on his own. Not without being born anew. So like with biological birth, apparently we can't control ourselves being born that way either. What we see in our text today, though, should offer us great comfort. Because what is clear is that even for Abram, the first of the Jews, the one whose family will bring a blessing on all the nations, even for him, the work that is being done is God's, not his. Genesis makes it clear. God says to Abram, listen to this drumbeat. God says to Abram, go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and your family will be a blessing to all the families on earth. It's clear that God is the one who is at work here, not Abram. He and his family are a means for God's blessing, but the blessing comes from God. And we don't even know why Abram was chosen. There's nothing in Scripture to say he asked for it, that he was seen to be especially righteous. It just says one day God came to Abram and said, get moving. But he was chosen. Chosen with the ultimate goal that all of creation might be restored and be able to live in harmony with God's original intention for the world. The call of Abram is God's response to the dilemma created by sin and evil. God will work in and through this family on behalf of all families. But this call and understanding comes not because of Abram's work, rather it comes from God. It's God's call to Abram, it's God's blessing, it's God's action to make of them a great nation. And so to come back to Nick, Abram didn't ask to be born or chosen. He was just born. He was just chosen. Jesus is reminding Nick, what you think you know won't get you into the reign of heaven. The only way to get to that place is to be born into it. And to perhaps extend that metaphor too far, the only way to get into that reality is to be moved out of the reality of the womb that you are currently in. One that says, I know and understand what's happening here. The only way to understand that is to be born out of that womb and thrust into a bright, loud, beautiful new world that is the reign of God, where we will see things oh so differently. And that different vision will come only when we have been born into the reign of God through the waters of baptism, in which we die and are resurrected, through the power of the Holy Spirit that blows into our lives in all kinds of amazing ways and transforms us through that encounter. It's also interesting in both cases that while there is benefit for the one for whom God has chosen, right? You'll get a family, you'll get life age long. The real purpose of being chosen is to bless all people. To bless all of creation. That's God's desire. It's not just to reward some people, but to save all people. But that wider blessing is something we tend not to see. Certainly not with our reign of the world sight. Raise your hand if you have seen John 3:16 at a sporting event. You've seen a sign with that. Okay, so pop quiz, can anyone repeat that? You don't have to be word for word. Can anyone repeat John 3:16?
It's for God so loved the world that whoever so believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Got it.
Something like that.
Yep, close enough. Right. God so loved the world he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Now, raise your hand if you have seen a sign for John 3:17. Right! Neither have I. Can anyone repeat that one? Right? That's probably, here's how it goes. So it's 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. 3:17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, we tend to stick to 3:16, which, to be honest, most of us probably think of in individual terms. It's the reward of Abraham, right? For being in the reign of God, eternal life. It also tends to be heard a bit as, those of us who believe are the lucky ones and the heck with the rest of you. We tend to think of it as being about me. And so we gloss over that God so loved the world thing, and we get stuck on, so I can have eternal life. But that's not what it says. And it gets even more interesting when you remember that in the Gospel of John, the world, the Greek word there is cosmos, the world is consistently portrayed as something that is hostile to God. And so you might read that text this way. For in this way God loved the God-hating world, that he gave his only Son. But even more importantly, you would hear in 3:17, God did not send the Son to condemn the God-hating world, but in order that the God-hating world might be saved through him. God's desire for even those who are antagonistic, opposed, hateful of God, God's desire even for them is not to condemn them. God's desire for them is the same as it is for us. Freedom. Life. To be saved from the consequences of our worst decisions. And this is what God's love is. Always other-centered. Always looking out for their well-being, even when they actively oppose God. And it's been this way from the beginning. Just look at Abram. Abram and his family's faithfulness for the sake of the world. And God has always worked through people to do this. Imperfect and unlikely people. Like Abram, who among other things tries to fulfill God's promise for himself. Hence we get Ishmael, right? God works through imperfect people just like us. We are chosen. We don't know why, but we are chosen. We have been born anew through the washing of baptism, the rushing and invigorating wind of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and because God is at work in and through us, we can be a blessing to the world. Even a world that is antagonistic, opposed, hateful of God. And this is the good news. That while we cannot force ourselves to be born in and through the work of God's Spirit and the blessing of God's church, God can birth us anew into the reign of God, transforming our vision so that we might see more clearly the truth of who God is and who Jesus is, so that not only we, but the whole world might be saved. And in this way, God's love for us, it's the same love that a mother has for her children. The very ones she gave birth to. A love that exists even when those children hate her, turn from her, even when they follow self-destructive paths. Am I right, moms? In the midst of a season of the church year that can sometimes feel like a list of things we have to do to get right with God, here is the liberating truth. Ain't nothing we can do that will birth us anew into the reign of God. Ain't nothing we can do to be chosen. And we have already been born anew. When God claimed us in the waters of baptism, recognized us as God did Jesus as a beloved child. Fearfully and wonderfully made, with whom God is well pleased. And so perhaps today our prayer is, O mothering God, who has birthed us anew into your reign, we are your children. Make us a blessing to the nations, to be an outpost of your reign in the world, to be a sign of your expansive love, even for this God-defying world. Amen.